Now listen to David. Verse 18, then went King David in, sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of the man, O Lord God? Now, let me change that a little and give you again Bishop Horsley's translation here. Follow yours, your translation. I'm reading. O Lord God, thou hast spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me in the arrangement about the man that is to be from above, O God Jehovah. That's a remarkable statement. They were looking for one to come. And he was to be the seed of the woman. He was to be from Abraham. He is to come in the tribe of Judah. Now, we're told, it'll be the family of David. He's going to be in David's line, and David is overwhelmed by this. Now, listen to David, verse 20. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, O Lord God, knowest thy servant. Have you ever poured out your heart to God, and then you just didn't have anything to say? You're just empty. You're just there before him in prayer, sometimes riding along. And I pray riding along. I tell him all I can tell him. I can't even think anything else to say. How wonderful he is. How wonderful our God is. Now, will you notice? He says, For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Now, did God do this for David? Because David was a nice boy? He wasn't a nice boy, friends. We're going to see that. And God didn't save you, and he didn't save me because we're nice boys. He did it because of his marvelous, infinite grace, and he does so many wonderful things for us even today. And it's not because of our goodness. It's because of his goodness. He's wonderful. We're not. He's the one that's wonderful, friends, and we ought to praise his name. Oh, I'd like to read all this down. I won't be able to do that. David is just overwhelmed by all of this. No wonder he could sing those wonderful psalms. And he says here in verse 22, Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there's none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we've heard with our ears. Doesn't this just do you good to read it, friends? Might I have a God like this? And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel? I'll have to drop on down now. Notice verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And do you know that this became actually David's salvation? Listen to him. At the end of his life, over in 2 Samuel 23:5, this is what David says, Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is my salvation. David says, I rest upon what God has promised. And you know he made a promise to us, to you. He says, Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you believe God? David believed God. We've seen that. Abraham believed God. We've seen that. Moses believed God. Joshua believed God. And he wants you to believe God. Whatever your name is, he's saying to you today, believe me, I'll save you if you'll trust Christ as your Savior. That's his covenant with us today. And friends, this is a covenant that just became very important, and we'll call attention to it from time to time and pursue it further.